1 2 1 2
Hello.
Hello. Hello. 1 2 There we go.
1 1 2 3 4 5 5 6 7
There we go.
Good evening and welcome to a very, very special episode of Shed Sessions. This wasn't my idea, this was Ian's idea. What's in your shed? What's in your shed? Ian, what have you done? What have you done?
I love that I'm getting blamed already. I mean, you know, let's hope it turns out well. I mean, it may be usable. Who knows?
Well, I'm sure we'll be able to put this out. Doesn't matter. We'll have fun.
We'll have fun with our... Well, so, I mean, you're drinking. I'm not drinking.
I'll have one. I've got one... full alcohol stout. I've tried a different brand and I've got an alcohol free one, so yeah, it's not.
I like the balance there, that's nice.
Yeah, what are you drinking?
I am on the green lane brands. We can,
yeah,
we're not sponsored by anyone.
I was just thinking, it doesn't matter.
No, it really doesn't. So this is Heineken Blue, I think they call it, or the Heineken Zero now, but out of all the alcohol free lagers, if you want to send us some Heineken, this one's actually quite good. So, yeah, not that they will, but, you know, just saying, Heineken Zero is actually pretty good.
I like the bitter taste of beer. I like it. As a soft drink, it's got a nice flavour. I like beer.
See, as a soft drink, I mean, we can probably do a whole podcast in the time I found, like, alcohol-free beer in a W.H. Smith's, which seemed a bit weird.
That is strange. Yeah. W.H. Smith's...
We're selling the little stubby cans of Heineken Zero.
Very nice. And that's a newsagent kind of store where they sell books.
Yeah,
and
but it just seemed a bit surprising to sell it in a newsagent alongside Coke and Fanta and everything. It's like, oh, by the way, here's beer for kids. They're probably not going to send us Heineken now, are they?
You still need... No. I just realised that. You still need to get authorization from the shopkeeper to buy alcohol-free drinks.
See, legally, no. But I think... I'm going to say that, but I think a lot of supermarkets accidentally class them as alcoholic, therefore they get mixed up.
So, do you think so?
Yeah. That's you shouldn't legally. So that's why they can.
You say
them.
Legally. How do you know it's legally?
Because we can edit this part out. But I work with supermarkets, and they get this stuff wrong.
Oh, okay. I bought a can of that stuff called Trip. And it's got CBD extract in. And that you need authorization for. But
because
it's not
of the CBD though, right?
Yeah, but it's not an age-restricted drink. You can just have it. Anyway, that's boring. Sometimes I just don't buy those things because I don't want to stop at the U-scans and then have to stand there and wait and that red light's flashing and you're thinking...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Oh, I need to go. I don't want... And usually when I go to the co-op near where I work, it's really busy and there's never anyone behind the kiosk and I'm on my own by those use.
I mean, you do have to feel for those people because the way they've, some, you know, I can't remember who started it. I remember seeing it in Tesco's, but basically they've gone from like 10 counters to with 10 people to 20 counters with one person and somebody's gone, that'll save you money. And you got to feel for the one person running around all the tills and everybody's red lights are going and stuff though, right? But as a consumer, you're going, this is taking a while.
Yeah. I thought all of that stuff was something of science fiction movies. You know, when
we're here now.
You see, we're being replaced by machines and we're all working towards replacing ourselves because there's people in jobs that design those self-checkout things and we all happily go with it and then suddenly don't have those jobs.
So again, I work with supermarkets, so I need to be a bit careful about what I say, but there is an element of that, so...
Yeah, and how did we get onto this?
I have no idea.
Anyway, isn't it wonderful being able to just sit down and have a chat for a change?
It is. So I was saying just before we started recording, and thank you so much, Warren, because, you know, we didn't have to do this at all. But no, it was... It just felt so much quieter, and like, we came into the shed this evening, and I was like, I should be doing something. And, you know, we'll take a few pictures, but Warren has automatically set up the mixer in front of me, and I'm like... Am I doing audio? It's like, well, I thought this is just a talkie podcast, so I thought you'd be doing audio. But no, I'm comfortable here now.
Oh, good. I'm glad you've reached your comfort
zone. I know my position.
Well, you're very much an integral part of Shed Sessions, and I'm so happy you encouraged us to do this episode, because it's really important we have a chance to sit back and reflect on what's happened, because it's been busy. We've been doing a lot, and the podcast has grown and lots more people know about it, and there's always a temptation on my part to kind of retreat when that happens and think, oh, now I'm scared, I'm going. But it's really important, and it's nice that we get a chance just to chat about what's been happening and how we're feeling and where we're heading towards. And we've also got a couple of ideas here just to give us a bit of a focus, because if we don't, we'll end up talking about
spiraling about supermarkets again.
But those are the types of things people are interested in, is that everyday nonsense, isn't it? What are you watching on telly at the moment?
Oh, I knew you'd ask that. So I'm not the biggest like box set consumer, I will say that. But to anyone who'll listen, The Bear. So it ticks a lot of boxes for me, because it's the episodes are relatively short. They're like normally about half an hour long. It's about food. And there's a real sense of family about the whole thing. So yes, The Bear on Disney Plus is amazing.
And you recommended a celebrity chef book to me before, and you've always said you've got to read this.
Oh, the Anthony Bourdain book.
That's the one.
I should have brought it today. Nuts, I will bring it next time. Okay. But yes, Anthony Bourdain, I think I got into him through his television programs. But yes, it's... yes, read it. So I watch his programs, they're really good.
So that side of thing intrigues you, the whole making food chef thing.
Yeah, I'm not that good a cook, but I am obsessed with food. But yes, what are you watching, Herman?
I'm watching The Office, the American version of The Office, not by choice.
I was going to say.
My partner really loves it. And I think it's great. It's very funny. The first few episodes of the first season, I kind of had to separate myself from the fact that doesn't make sense, but I had to think not too much of the British version, the Ricky Gervais lot, and try see it as a separate thing. And I think at the same time they were doing that too, the producers and the actors, they were trying to find their way,
find their own voice, I guess, within it, and not just be like Americans doing British stuff, which never, and the other way around never works as well.
Yeah, and to me, I was always a bit weary of it, and it's actually very funny, and it's not all based in the office. They go out on excursions, and there's one where they do an away day and they're out on this next to this river, and yeah, it's funny. I like it. But last night I had enough, and I said, look, can we watch something else? And I found Little Shop of Horrors,
the original film,
with what's his name, Rick Moranis.
You know, I've never seen that.
Haven't you?
No,
it's a musical.
He'll make a great cuts film.
Yes,
wouldn't it?
Well, next horror festival.
Yep. Is it really horror though?
I would say it's in the title, Little Shop of Horrors. Sure. But yeah, I see what you mean. It's not something that's really going to scare you.
I mean, I am gutted. I missed the. I was just busy this month, but yeah. We can talk about the cuts.
Oh yeah, Cinema Under the Stairs. Yeah.
So a really great lineup. I mean, how was that?
Wow, so
big.
That's my other creative outlet, is Cinema Under the Stairs, and we show a film once a month in a different venue in Oxford, and I do that with a group of friends, and we used to do a podcast. I'm sure I've mentioned it before in various Shed Sessions episodes, but we do a yearly or annual horror festival called Shocktober, where we show six films in six venues over six nights, creating the number of the beast. And
I didn't realize that. How did I not realize that?
I thought it was quite obvious, but obviously not, because you get most stuff. But that, yeah, usually that stuff slips by me and I don't see it. But that's okay. It's good to own up to that. And I think lots of people don't, because I often say it to people, six films, six nights, six venues, and they go, oh yeah, that's nice. That's a really good idea. And then I look at them and I go, you know what that is? When I was a kid, you just couldn't say 666. You couldn't write it down. I grew up in a really conservative place.
I think it's still there's still people. But then it's funny how much you pick up some of this, so much of this stuff from like films and whatnot, right? So, you know, stuff that, like Candyman. You would never say Candyman three times in a mirror, right?
Is it five?
Is it five or three?
Three is not is too few. I think it's five. I don't want to correct you on that, but we could check later.
Well, maybe check, but it's that kind of thing. But that's just entirely fictitious, made up by a guy in a film. I mean, the first Candyman film is still great.
Yeah.
But would you do it now?
Should I do it right now?
No, don't do it now.
There's a mirror in there. There's a mirror. I'm looking at one now. I'm really tempted, but I haven't done it before.
See?
Okay, I won't. But yeah, we show these horror films every October, and this year we did them early October. Last year we did them late in the year, and we've got an amazing raffle after each film, and the venues are wonderful. We use Ultimate Picture Palace, the Phoenix Picture House, the Bullingdon. Some years we use Tap Social. Where, I don't want to forget any. There's a few more. Old Fire Station, yeah. We were there this year, and everyone is so welcoming and happy for us to, you know, they're happy to be part of it, and it's great fun. And this year was incredible. Every year is incredible. This year was so good. The lineup of films were fantastic. And the one that I loved the most was Nosferatu.
That was the one I really wanted to go with the live score.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to go to that one. I was so annoyed I didn't make it to that.
Oh, yeah, and you would have liked it. And live score being a band called Minima, who do scores, film scores for silent films, and they do it in a modern take on it. And I've just never had a cinema experience like it. It was incredible. And the band were phenomenal. They sounded a bit like Earth. Have you heard Earth?
Oh, yeah.
Doom
metal-y.
Yeah. And it was just perfect. They were right at the front. And Salvador introduced them, and they had a bit of a chat before the film, and then it started. And this is a film, it's based on Dracula. Mm. It's a German film, I think.
It's like the original vampire film, I think, isn't it?
Possibly. I'd never seen it until this night. It was filmed in the 20s, I think, and it's silent, and then this band has made their own score to accompany it, and it was fantastic. I love live music, and this was like being at a gig, and I love films, and then watching a film. And normally I'm doing popcorn and doing the box office and all sorts of things. The film starts and I leave and go get a pint or go for a walk or whatever, go get something to eat. But this one, I just sat there and I couldn't leave. I would feel rude to leave, but it was ace. It was
because because it's from the 20s, it's a relatively short film as well, right? So
yeah,
I don't know. I really should get around to just watching the original at some point.
I think you should. I'd recommend it. It's about 1 hour 23 or something around there.
That's quite long for a film in that era, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just fascinating how they've managed to preserve all the reels of film. And I think in the introduction, there's some information on about how they got all the bits and pieces together, because they had to preserve some pieces. Mm-hmm. Some stuff had to be
powering off.
Those are the speakers. I'm not powering off.
No, Warren is still here, everyone.
Those are the speakers for the record player. And yeah, there's some interesting information on how it's like archaeology, I suppose. They have to try and find these bits of film, and they've got it together, and it's a beauty. It's very nice to watch. And while you're watching, you think it's unbelievable. These were the early filmmakers, and they were creating these scenes and constructing these shots and tracking and all sorts of things.
So what I love about that stuff, there's probably a whole other podcast we could do on the like film, but it's the mechanical nature of it, and they established those. And things that I think filmmakers do, and we as consumers take for granted, if they wanted to do, like, the famous one I always come back to is, which one was it with Rosebud? The brain has gone to Swiss cheese. But the famous film, and I'm sure somebody at home is like shouting at the speaker going, it's this. But there's a whole thing where the camera goes through the sign, and the sign breaks apart, and there's this big tracking shot into a window. And this is before CG, right? So they had to build a track and had to build a sign that would part in time with the track opening. And, you know, it established that kind of shot to the point where, you know, that sort of stuff is just taken for granted. And it's even more so in the 20s before any of that, you know, people just trying to do things in camera and things. It's incredible to think about, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, and I noticed that while watching. I was thinking how many filmmakers they've influenced. Yeah. And I can imagine filmmakers, modern filmmakers, will go back to that and think, how do we recreate that? How did they do that? Because that looks really cool. But yeah, I loved it so much. It was fantastic. And the band I got the CD from is called Minima, and I've got it here. And there's two scores on here. There's Nosferatu and The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, which I haven't seen. And Nosferatu is made up of 13 tracks. It starts with a Symphony of Horror Part 1. And it concludes with a Symphony of Horror Part 2 and 3. But yeah, love it.
And we'll check it out.
So I got their CD and they signed it for me. It was like a really excited person at the end. I was like, oh, this is so cool. Can you sign it for me? And they signed it. And I actually asked them if they would do a shed session.
Of course you did.
And they said they would love to.
That'd be great having them in there.
Can you imagine?
That'd be pretty good.
What would we do?
We'll have to move all your stuff out into the garden.
Put up a big screen and invite some friends over and have a film and get them to score it.
I think you probably have to check with them, but just having them play something could be pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. Get them to play like 3 or 4 tracks off that album. It would be cool.
That would be pretty good. It would be pretty good.
So, yeah, and we've got to this point with Shed Sessions and what's been happening? What's been going on? Like, I kind of lose track. We get really busy. And this month we were, because of Cinema Under the Stairs Horror Festival, Shocktober, we are only doing one shed session. And that's still coming up. And normally we do 2 or 3 a month. And I said, let's just try keep it at 2. And then the previous month, which was September, we did 3 because we had a surprise guest, unexpected. And this month is just the 1.
So it's good. Like on average, we're averaging 2 a month. You know, that's not bad, is it?
I know. And we could do more. But I think it's one of those things where you need some time to prepare for each session.
I think this is, and it's genuinely not a whinge at all. Because honestly, being involved in the whole thing has been a wonderful thing. And thank you so much. I will say this till the cows come home. But, you know, everything takes energy. Right. And like you say, just you doing the prep and clearing out, because to be very clear about this, it is your shed. It is like your home office. It's your space, and you're welcoming me and whoever else we've got into your house. It's not a venue or anything. I think people go, so it really is a shed. And they turn up and they go, yes, it is. It's a very nice shed, but it's someone's shed. And then, you know, it takes me time to, we do the session and that's like a couple of hours to record normally. And then I spend, you know, God knows how many hours mixing it down afterwards. So it's all, you know, the whole thing takes time. So I think, you know, and then fitting it in amongst other stuff. But I wouldn't swap any of it. It's been a really fun thing to be involved with.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that, Ian. And I know I'm very lucky to have you doing the production and the mixing. And it's always a big selling point. I tell people when I invite them or ask them if they want to come on the show, and I say I've got Ian/Tiger Mendoza doing the audio, and I think that their ears prick up when they hear that. And
could you know? Could originally, so I got involved because I did the first official, I guess, shed session, right? Although I still say that you told me you had done one before, but that's fine. And we did record that one. Steve, wasn't it, on sound? That I mean, he recorded it as lovely as he is, but
The session when you were performing, it was Steve on audio.
It was Steve on audio then, and it was lovely just hanging out in your shed, and it was a similar kind of thing, but I wasn't on audio. And then I said, this is cool, but can I help you record a little bit better? And it's kind of gone from there. I was actually, I had the list of shed sessions in front of me. And I think the first one I actually did the audio for was spank hair in September 2022. So almost, well, just over a year ago now, which is mad, really.
Yeah, that's incredible. And we're going to do a roughly on the anniversary. I've never had a band come in twice, and we're coming up to a band that's going to come visit us for a second time, almost a year after they did the first one. And that's interesting too, and really exciting, the fact that they want to come back, yeah, which is always good. And also just to realize, like, how, I know it's only been a year of the Shed Sessions, but it, you know, we've seen what, 26, 27 bands?
You are up to, because you number them, which is a really good idea. So we are up to Shed Session 25. Crandall were the last ones.
Wow, and they were great.
And they were great. They were really good. I didn't know anything about them, which, it's more often than not, they are my favorite Shed Sessions, when I know nothing about the band and then set them up. I mean, we get like tech specs and some information. You're like, oh, they're this and that. And I may check them out before, but, you know, to turn up and they did their thing. They were so cool and lovely. But everybody who's done a Shed Session has been great in their own way. I mean, just great to hang out with, right?
I mean, these are the best, most interesting, most creative people. I love them, and I'm happy for them to come into my home, our home, the kids, and they get to see the guinea pigs, and they get to walk down to the end of the garden. And
guinea pigs could probably have their own Instagram account, honestly.
I know, they probably could. I think around the time when the artists arrive, we're putting the guinea pigs to bed, so we take them out of the run and put them in the hutch. And then everyone wants to hold and wants to see them. And it's quite a nice icebreaker. I think, you know, when you stroke a furry animal, it kind of puts you at ease. It does me.
No, so. It's true. It's true. We have Peanut at home, our cat, who is a grumpy little old lady. She is still a cat. But yes, there is something quite soothing still about, you know, giving her a stroke.
Yeah.
And it's the same with the guinea pigs, right?
Oh, definitely. And it helps. And so, yeah, the people that come into the Shed are always, I love them. I love musicians. I love artists. I think they're so interesting. And there's a vulnerability about them, which I also like. You get the most accomplished musicians who will come in here feeling quite nervous.
Yeah.
And that always gets me in a way. And I think, wow, that's amazing. I thought they would just kind of cruise in here. But there's no arrogance. There's no pretense. There's nothing. They just come in here and want to, you know, give the best performance they can.
Totally. And bless them, you know, they take it seriously. I mean, they all, like you say, they all want to do the best performance. And, you know, we both try and, I mean, you are a very genial host and everything. And we both just try and make them an ease. I don't think we've had anybody. So Suspire was a first session. Like, I mean, they played gigs, but I don't think they'd recorded anything yet.
They hadn't, no.
So for them, it was brand new. And that was lovely.
I'm trying to think of that saying, they hit the ball out of the park. What's that saying? Where they
came in,
they were unbelievable. I took a chance by, you know, accepting. They got in touch with me. And normally I would go see a band perform first, or I'd know someone in that band who I've seen in a different band or something. And I thought, why not? And, you know, people have given me opportunities before based on nothing. For example, you, when I said I've done a session before and I hadn't. I think what I meant.
The first time he's admitted it on tape, kids.
I think what I meant was that I had worked with musicians before, and we had the odd What's in Your Shed episode, which was the precursor to Sessions, where a musician we'd be chatting about their guitar, for example, and they'd play a few songs. And there was a friend of mine called Scott Gordon, and he did something, and I kind of classed that as a Shed Session, which isn't entirely true, but it's okay.
It's fine. I'm here now. It's fine.
Thanks, Ian. Thank you.
Now I just like taking the mick out of you.
you've given us credibility. And yeah, so I thought, why not? And they really did one of the best performances I've seen. They were so, so nervous at the start.
Yeah.
But it really paid off. It was unbelievable.
To be fair to them, though, everybody who has done a Shed Session is nervous at the start. I mean, not to give it away or anything, but you can really sense. And again, the most genial host, and this is not trying to blow smoke, but everybody comes in here just a little bit nervous, I think, because they want to do their best. And it is a slightly odd setup. But, you know, they kind of go, so it really is a shed. And it takes a few minutes, sometimes even the first song, to kind of warm into the whole setup of the thing, right? But once they go, then it's just, you know, it flies, really. For every session we've done,
yeah, it always works out so well. I'm really pleased with it. It's brought me and my family so much, and I think everyone who comes in here has a wonderful experience. And I get such nice messages from people. Speaking of which, Crandall, who were the most recent band who came and performed, Sarah and Matt, and their lovely little dog called Maybe. Sarah had left a few bits and bobs here by mistake the night before, and then I got in touch. I said, oh, look, you've left some stuff here. And she said, oh, I'd like to come over and collect them, because I said, I'll drive them to where you are. And she said, and I really want to, like, have a chance to chat and find out more about you. And I thought, oh, that's really kind. That's really sweet, because I think I do talk about myself and people get an idea of who I am and what I do, but I think she felt that, you know, the whole session was about them, which is what it's meant to be.
It's meant to be about the band, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel bad when I go on about my stories
no,
and
no,
stuff.
No, 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 no.
But it definitely is about the band. So I said, oh, that's fine. You know, you don't have to ask me these questions and stuff during the session, but come over. And she brought a little gift with some chocolate inside and a cucumber that they grew in their garden.
Oh, wow.
And a little bag of those kitten sweets. Have you ever had those?
The jelly ones?
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
They're very nice. Yeah. They're kind of vegan jelly.
Vegan sweet. Jellies, but they do like crazy flavours, like champagne flavour and stuff.
Watermelon and...
Is that one flavour? I don't know.
And then the red... champagne one also.
Did you have the pink ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what flavour they are. They're pretty good though.
Yeah, very nice. She bought those. And she wrote a lovely little note that I'm looking at now, and she said, thank you very much for your hospitality and for looking after my hairy child, which is Maybe. Lots of love, Sarah and Matt and Maybe. And that's the thing, what I find about artists is they do these little things that you're not aware of at the time. And like, for example, they'll take a photograph of something and then they'll post it on Instagram. And you think, that's really funny. They noticed that and they've put that on. I'm trying to think of an example. I think the Bobo took a funny picture, like a selfie of themselves. That's the whole point of a selfie.
Fine, go with it.
and they put that on. But it's just interesting to see what different artists notice.
I think you forget how cool... I mean, I've said this before, but one of the main reasons I come and do this, apart from obviously yourself, who is a lovely person, is your shed is cool as fuck. I'm going to swear, I don't care.
That's all right.
You have so much cool stuff in here, right? And I think you were just used to it because you work in here. But I'm looking around now still, and I've been here for coming here for over a year now, and I'm still going, how has he got all this cool stuff? Every time I come in here, I go, where has that come from? I mean,
oh, is there still surprises for you?
Yeah, completely. Like, you know, I'd see like random bits of action figures that I never knew he had this, and what about that? Obviously, I mean, you know, but it's cool.
Oh, thank you. And I guess that's the thing. I just get so used to
it. It's not why you buy it, but, you know, you don't buy it to show off. You just buy it because you like this stuff, but it is cool stuff.
It's mad. I think this is a little collection over a long period of time. And I started out the podcast called What's in Your Shed, and meaning what's in your head, from that Cranberry song, Zombie.
Okay.
And I figured that objects and things you surround yourself with is a reflection of what's going on in your mind. And I suppose everything that I have in here represents a period of time when I collected certain things. And there's little action figures from my childhood. Mm-hmm. You can call them toys, I don't mind.
No, action figures is cool.
And like the Thundercats and He-Man.
But you brought them all back from South Africa, right?
Yeah, quite a lot of them I did. And because I decided that I was living here, I would go back to South Africa to visit family, and every time I went, I'd bring a few more bits back until my mom had the last few bits, and she said, are you going to take these? Like, there was an old Monopoly game, and I didn't want that. I don't like Monopoly.
No.
I can't. No, really, seriously, what's wrong with that game?
I just, it goes on forever and nobody ever wins. It's like It's the most, I will say it, it's the most conservative game. And if that's your thing, fine, then you play all the Monopoly you want. It is not my thing.
Yeah, we won't judge anybody who plays it, but come on.
No, we will, Warren. Okay. We will. I will.
But the thing is, it's teaching you to monopolize, yes, to capitalize, yes, to exploit.
Capital, that's to, what I was, yeah, going for. So, yeah, fine, if that's your thing, like then you, you go. Anyway.
Anyway, that hasn't come with me. There was a basket of Skittles. I don't know, Skittles is a miniature 10-pin bowling. So yeah, the Skittles are the, what are those things called? The, in 10-pin bowling, you've got the ball and the, oh, you can buy them, the thing that you knock over, the pin.
Pins.
So the Skittles is a miniature version, and there's a nice wooden set at home, and we used to set that up.
With the ball and a string, and you can kind of swing it around.
Oh, no. So it's exactly the same as 10-pin bowling, but just smaller version. Half the size, the pins, the one set we had, the pins were carved out of wood. We call them Skittles. And the ball was a wooden ball with three holes in, slightly bigger than a tennis ball. Mm-hmm. And we'd set it up in our passageway in the house and then play Skittles in the house.
I bet the kids would love that. Joe would probably be not so impressed. If
no.
You
the ball would always, because the hallway, the longest hallway straight stretch is on the landing, and the ball, I bet you would fall down through the railings down to the lower floor, down the stairs. But I liked the sound that made, the wood just kind of crashing.
You know, at some point, I mean, maybe, I don't know if you know, but South Africa has a pretty big Asian population, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there is a game in from South Asia, called Carom. Have you ever come across that?
No.
It's basically a precursor to billiards and snooker, played on a square table with nets in the pockets, and you play with Carom pieces, these kind of circular pieces. I don't really know how to play it properly, but it's great fun.
Now we're talking games. I like games when you're actually doing something physical and not... I mean, yeah, there's some good board games, like chess is good, draughts is good. I like the chess where you actually have those massive pieces and you walk them.
My problem with board games is I have no attention span. So things like Carom is good because you can fire things, basically.
Yeah.
But yes, so my mum and dad have a Carom board, which I don't think they use, but I should try and bring it to Oxford at some point. I know Em would kill me, but...
Yeah, you should bring it over and we can play. Will you be in trouble because you don't have any space?
Yes, because we already have a house full of instruments and random other crap.
Yeah, so, objects.
Objects.
There's a shop in Oxford called Objects of Use.
Is it?
On Market Street, I think. What's the one there where... It's off Corn Market Street near the covered market. There's a shop there, Objects of Use. They've got nice scissors and pans and cups.
Yeah, we are way off topic.
Yeah.
But
so we're talking about objects and surrounding myself with objects, that and that's how the podcast started. So I'd come in here and talk about these things, and then it evolved into this. And I couldn't be happier because music is the thing that always runs through everything. I look at all the toys, Thundercats for example, and it's the theme tune. The Ninja Turtles, it's the theme tune.
Because you can tell music's such a big part of this shed, because just looking around the shed, and it's been in the pictures on Instagram and all that kind of stuff, but because I think people like them so much. But it's your pictures of album covers, or your copies of album covers, which are so cool. I mean, you did them so well. So the new one is the Stooge cover, right? The Skunk and Nancy one.
Yeah, well spotted.
That's so cool. And yeah, they're really, really well done.
Thank you very much. And you know what I think they also do? As canvas, I think it absorbs the sound, because everyone says it's great acoustics in here. And I think it's because it's so full of stuff. And to have that canvas all over the walls, I'm sure it helps.
Maybe it helps. I mean, it's, because I try, when I'm doing the sound for these things, I try and process it as little as possible, if that makes sense. I put a little bit of reverb on mix down and things, but I want it to sound like we hear it in the shed, you know, as far as possible. And I think mostly I kind of do that, right?
I think you get an amazing sound off of it, and it definitely captures the shed, and I don't think you could get that anywhere else.
Yeah.
I know, obviously, wherever you record is going to pick up the surroundings and whatever, yeah, but I think we've got such a unique sound in here.
When we, you know, when it is a bit warm and we can throw the doors open and stuff, it's always nice to kind of randomly hear a dog barking or like a big plane flying over or just the sounds from outside and stuff, you know, and they all kind of, like you always say, kind of add into the mix. I think at one point, just earlier on when I was trying to keep things a bit simpler, we didn't use the ambient mic.
Oh, the room mic.
The room mic, yeah. And actually when I realised, then I started to miss it from the, and it's not, it's barely there, but it does, I think, add, I don't know, it feels like in many ways like our totem, you know. It's always in the middle of the room, it's always present, it's us two in the room mic normally. And then the band.
You made me think I better check if it's actually on, and I'm looking at it. It's on. It's on. That's one of those things. Have we ever done an episode where we forgot to?
No, don't, because it's honestly one of my biggest.
What happened?
No. So I should say I haven't done the audio for all the shed sessions. I've done it for a good majority, and we did when I was kind of regular sound guy. We had Stefano coming in and guesting as well. And he said the same thing, because I met him like the day after the session he did, the dog milk session. He was like, I was so scared I didn't hit record, or so scared that it didn't record for some reason. And I don't know what I'd do. I would feel so bad if that happened. But it's the kind of thing that, yeah, I honestly worry every time, like I get home and I get the memory card at home. I hope, please record. Yes, it's there.
I mean, what would you say to people?
I don't know.
I think I pre-warn people and say, you know, we're doing this for the moment and for being here together and making something together and being involved in the creative process, and whatever happens afterwards, yeah, doesn't matter. And hopefully,
but especially Warren, but you would be so disappointed, and it would be I would be so irritated and disappointed if I, you know, for whatever, I would take it so personally if suddenly the audio didn't come out, even if it wasn't really my fault.
No, it would be bad. And actually, I got very close to it. Speaking of dog milk, I'm sure I've maybe told you the story, so forgive me if I'm repeating it, or maybe I told Stefano, and I think it happened because I was worried about what Stefano had said, because he was saying how he was worried that he didn't press record and so on, and then somehow that went into my brain. But anyway, what happened was, and this was real, this wasn't even dreamt up, so you weren't here that night. Stefano covered and he did a great job, and he was worried that it wouldn't record, etc. And he even said to me, can you keep the SD card? I'm just worried I'm going to lose it, and yeah, you hang on to it. And the SD card is the little memory stick that goes into the mixer, and that's what captures all the data, all the, yep, the music. And I said, fine, yeah, I'll keep it. And I'm usually left here on my own in the shed after everyone's gone. I come back in here and I kind of look around and it's all quiet, and I tidy up and I might put a record on, and then I looked at the mixer and I thought, okay, I'll take that little SD card out. I took it out, put it in my pocket, continued tidying up, took a few things back to the house because I bring in some little stools in and bits and bobs, and then I came back to the shed, and for some reason I had locked the door. Maybe I thought I'd finished in here and I needed to get back in. So I put my hand in my pocket to get the key, took the key out, and I heard this like click, and I knew something had fallen on the decking just outside the shed door. And I was like, oh no, I think that's the SD card. It sounded really very much like that. I turned on the light and I couldn't see anything. I thought, if it's fallen there, it's obvious. It's just going to be lying there. Nothing.
It went, yeah, between the slats.
Yep, it fell between the little decking boards.
Yeah.
And there's a cavity underneath. So the decking's built on like a frame and there's a hole underneath. Oh no, this is unbelievable. So this was 1 a.m. or something. I went inside and got a screwdriver to take the screws off the decking boards, to lift the decking boards up. I put a head torch on my hands and knees, and then of course the screws in the decking boards had stripped. You know how these screws are made really cheaply,
yeah,
and
yeah,
you can't, I mean, if
the weather and what they, yeah,
it's so annoying how bad some of them are. I couldn't open it. And when I get an idea in my head, I just want to get through it. Mm-hmm. I need to get it done. And I couldn't. And I was worried I was making a noise, and it was stupid time. And people could look from their houses down and think, what's he doing? Like a head torch on.
What's he building in there?
You know, like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, where that dude is hanging on that contraption he built. Like it's a hoist holding him above the lawn. And he's trying to find...
Yes, and he's trying to find his kids. And yeah. He's like, yeah, yeah.
And then the neighbors actually see him and they think, this is crazy. What's he doing? And then the sprinklers come on, remember? And they spray him, and then there's a huge flood on the lawn. And anyway, I felt like that. And I had to give up. I thought, I just cannot get this decking board up. I'm going to need to do it in the morning. I had a terrible night's sleep, just worrying about this. What am I going to tell Dog Milk? What am I going to tell Stefano? This is a nightmare. And the next morning, I managed to, with a fresh mind, managed to get those decking boards up.
But it's difficult when something like that happens, though. I've been there, I mean, not that specific scenario, but you get these things where you start, panic kind of sets in. And like you say, we do invest, you know, time and energy into doing it. And it's kind of like, oh, I must get it back because, you know, if it got too wet or something, then who knows?
That's exactly it. I thought, what if it rains?
What if it rains or something, you know?
Then I thought, well, if it's, and it's not even guaranteed it's under the decking board, but I knew it wasn't in my pocket and I knew it wasn't inside, it wasn't anywhere else. So the next morning, it hadn't rained, thank goodness. Thanks for pointing that out.
Sorry.
Extra worry. And I found it, and it was so funny because I lifted the decking board, nothing, and then I had to lift another decking board because I roughly knew it would be near the door. Lifted this board, and the SD card was nestled in a beautifully constructed spiderweb hammock. And I delicately pulled it out, and I just went, yes! You beauty. And then I thought, I better test this, because what happens if Stefano didn't press record? And he had.
He had.
And then I sent him a message just to allay his fears and say, look, it's fine, dude. It's on there.
Because I was meant to be doing the audio for that session. And I had double booked myself. So I had a gig, so I couldn't do it. So bless him, Stefano jumped in and saved the day and helped record the session, right? But I bumped into Stefano, I think, was it the next day? I think the next day we went to, yes, and you were there briefly, but we went to the pub in Marston.
Oh, for Alex's farewell?
No, it was the that kind of all-day mini festival thing they had in the pub.
Oh, that's the one.
Is that The Last Crumb?
It was, what's that pub called on Marston Road?
It's a really nice pub and they do good pizza. And I would like to get free stuff from them, please.
The Up in Arms.
The Up in Arms.
That is a great pub. We love that.
We love the Up in Arms. We're never going to get anything free. But so they had the all day there, the Up in Arms, organised by the fine folk at Truck, Newview. I don't know why I'm being so corporate now.
That's okay, Ian.
But I bumped into Stefano there, and he was, I mean, Stefano's a really, really nice guy, and we're friends and stuff, but bless him, he was so nervous. Like, it recorded okay, right? He was sending me messages. I just hope it recorded okay. It's fine. Absolutely fine. And it was a good session from listening back. It seemed like a really lovely session.
Yeah, it was so good. I just can't believe it, how brilliant all these bands are. Everyone just puts so much into it. And like we said earlier, the best people, the kindest people, the most thoughtful. And I think every single band that has come in here has done such wonderful things. And also by coming onto the show, they're supporting local music and raising the profile of this thing that we've got. And it's just giving back in so many ways, and such a wonderful contribution to the music that's happening in Oxford. And I never believed I'd be part of it, and I'm so happy that I am.
And me too, honestly. And it was a really lovely thing, because you didn't, I mean, neither of us has to do it. You definitely didn't have to do it to start inviting bands in. And you know, I obviously, you are a great music lover, as am I, but the fact that you went out your way to even start this thing, it was amazing, really. But the, I think, I mean, honestly, Warren, musicians, as shy as they are, like showing off. So you say, would you like to come and play some songs? Yes, yes, I would. And a lot of them will jump at it. And I think, you know, as more sessions have happened, the words got around a little bit. More and more people going, oh, well, yeah, shared sessions, I've heard of that. Yeah, I'll come and do a thing. So it's been pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it's sometimes I step back and I think, is this real? How did this happen? And it has. And I think it's because a lot of love has gone into
it.
It's
true, but I think every episode we say, how has this happened? Is this, so we did say, and I'm putting you on the spot now, we'd try and pick five. So I think it would be unfair to have like top five sessions because that's not a thing, right? But five moments from the year and a bit that we've been doing shared sessions. Do you want to go alternate between us?
Okay, we can do that.
I think
it is pretty...
I am putting you on the spot.
It's okay. You did pre-warn me.
It was Alex's idea, and Alex isn't even here. Alex, so we should say Alex took photographs, not at all the sessions, but at a good chunk of them.
Yeah.
And he has moved away, and he is dead to us now. No, he's not.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. anytime you want to come back, Alex. But it was his idea, I think. I'm going to blame him anyway, because he's not here. To do like a five shed session moments. For this roundup.
So this one's for you, Alex.
This one's for you.
Let me get my IT equipment so I can see. What I'll do is I'll look at what sessions we've done, and I'm sure I will straight away know. I mean, I'll start with Crandall and bringing maybe along their little dog.
Yes, first shed sessions dog.
That's my first one.
Yes.
Done.
Yeah. Who knows if they'll be more, but if they're like maybe and really well behaved and just adorable, then yes, we can have more of those. I will. Who should I have? See, I haven't even thought of this myself. I will. This is maybe a bit of a cop out, but I will start with spank hair because it was my first shred session, and I was still learning, and I think I forgot to switch the inbuilt microphone off on the mixer, but it was a lovely session, and it was like, yes, more of this please. So there you go, that's my first one.
That's Joe's favorite.
She says, really,
can you bring in more bands like Spank Hair? I mean she's adored everyone, she listens to all the episodes. Yeah. And obviously you could never say which is your favorite to, I mean she probably would say it was Spank Hair. But to me, I can't pick my favorite. And even though Spank Hair is her favorite, there's all sorts of others that she's loved. She's loved every single one of them. But that's a good call, Ian. I quite liked the Riverside conversations where,
yes,
I was interviewing Dolly Mavis and that thing happened where you don't press record.
So at least, but the good thing about that one, Warren, is I can't be blamed for that one.
No, you weren't there. Left on my own. I was left on my own at a festival with loads of free booze and music and bands, and I was in my element, and I was more
professional.
Backstage
as well.
Backstage passes, the works. And Dolly and I were having this chat, and I said to her halfway through, I'm really sorry, but I didn't hit record. And luckily, the second half was even better than the first half.
It was good.
So
yeah,
it was fine.
Yeah. It was good, because I edited the audio down afterwards, and it was like, it still flowed. They all did. I think that was a really lovely little bonus episode between things to do, because, you know, we've said it before so many times on the podcast, but Riverside, the whole crew there, Fergus and everyone, the whole gang, so welcoming and such a lovely thing to do. So, and it was your first time there?
Yeah. See what happens next year. I already chatted with Fergus about some plans for next year.
Interesting. He hasn't told me anything about it.
I will, don't worry.
All right, what should I go? I will go with... do you know what? I've got to name check the whole White House session. So that was our first... I know it's quite a big moment, and I know slight favouritism because I did play a Tiger set with some amazing people. But it was our first shed session outside the shed. With there may be more of that coming up soon, but we haven't announced anything yet, so I'll keep quiet. But the But yeah, no, it was great. I mean, the White House is a great pub. The whole... I was really stressed out because there was some work stuff and playing and setting and recording things. But it was a very cool thing to do. And yeah, I think the feedback from the session and everything was really nice.
Yeah, it was so wonderful to have an audience watching how we record these episodes. And you may have felt all nervous and stressed out, but it didn't show. Like, you did a great job. Imagine that, doing the audio and then performing
consummate
as well.
Professional. Well, that's not true.
Very, very best in the business. I really liked EB when she came on a Saturday afternoon.
Saturday afternoon. Yes. Okay. So that's the first like day. I mean, so when we've done this one in the summer, it's been sunny, but like late evening.
Yeah.
But that was the first proper daytime one, right?
That was. I think it was 2 p.m. or something on a Saturday, which was unusual.
Yeah. Yes.
Great for photography because the natural light, you can't beat it. And, I mean, the music was, of course, superb. So that really stood out for me, that daytime gig. It was fun. It was nice.
And the funny thing, I mean, Evie's lovely. But we she was, I think, dressed up because she was DJing at her rock night afterwards. So she like came into the shed with her like goth boots on and everything, and like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
She looked awesome. Love Evie.
But yeah, no, it was great. It was a really cool, little session.
Yeah, it was so good.
What are we on? 3? So 4, right? I am going to mention what I'm going to mention now. I will say Cholly actually. Yes, I will say Cholly, because it was a cool session. I think it wasn't our first. So we'd done a couple of other electro sessions. And again, this isn't about favourite sessions, but there was something about the Cholly session which made it, I don't know, it had a whole really cool vibe about doing a session in it. But so before that, we had De Bobo and Kidkin, which I would classify under electro-y type sessions. And we had Octavia Freud and we had Dreamphone, all of which were very cool. But the Cholly session was pretty cool in and of itself. Just her voice and, you know, everything. I think the audio came out pretty well for that one.
It was a brilliant performance.
Yeah.
I got a record. She released it on the... And now this is where my alphabetization of my... records is going to work, because I need to, I don't even need it. It's called Anomaly. That was the name of the album.
Yep.
Cholly sent, or I bought it through Bandcamp, and that is a very, very,
it's a good album, isn't it?
Album.
It's a really good kind of this dark fairy tale electronica. But yeah, and just seeing her do her live remixes here was really cool. So yeah, that was cool.
Awesome gig, loved it so much. And am I on number 4 now?
You're on number 4 now.
Oh, there's just so many. I'm trying to think what like funny things happened, or if there was anything really cool that stood out. I mean, they're all cool. What about me asking Stornoway if they'll do a session, and they said yes?
I think that's worth it. I mean, in fact, we had Stornoway in here. I think we're still kind of going, really, did that happen? But, you know, they're just... I mean, this is the thing, right? Because everybody's just people. They're all, you know, I mean, that sounds like a really stupid thing to say, but they're just people. You ask and people either go, yeah, or no, fine, whatever. But they were nice people, and it was a lovely session, and it was good fun.
Yeah, and if you don't ask for stuff,
you don't get it.
Know.
Yeah, yeah. You totally get it.
And thank you to them for being responsive. You know, this was on the eve of their... album release and their tour, which they're gonna start properly. They did a few record store dates, and they're starting at a festival soon, and then they're gonna do the Town Hall in Oxford, sold out, and they finish up in the Forum in London. So lots going on, really busy, and they took time to come and join us, which is a great privilege, and to have them here. And it supports local music so much to have bands like that come in, and it gives Shed Sessions a bit of a boost and a bit of kudos. Is that a word? I never thought I'd say that word, but yeah, that's kind of the word that I mean. And yeah, thank you. And we usually really love bands that haven't been signed and made it big, because there's so much...
But it's not done deliberately, though, is it? I mean, I don't know... I don't know. Do you deliberately approach bands who haven't been signed? Is that part of the thing? You just approach people you like, right?
Yeah, yeah. I go see shows in Oxford and out and about, and whatever I love, I will.
Yeah. If you like them, you just ask, and then, you know, like you say, if they're not up for it, fine, whatever.
Yeah, and most people have been so wonderful when I ask. They're just like, yeah, we'd love to. And that's the most common phrase, is we'd love to. And I'm like, what? Okay. Cool, that's
amazing. Sooner or later, Warren, you have to realize that, you know, it's a thing now and people do know about it. So
Yeah, it's funny. So that was my number four.
Okay, I've got one.
One more.
I got to name check the whole Yellow County session. I mean, it was a great sounding session. The setup was somewhat interesting because it's probably the most gear, even including the Stornoway session, it's probably the most gear we have had in the shed. Right, all lovely people. George, Kat and Paddy, lovely people. But so George had his stripped down drum kit, which was basically still the kick, snare and cymbals from his regular drum kit. Paddy had two keyboards. It was just the two, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was two. They were huge, not like those tiny
full size keyboards. Again, lovely sounding. Multiple outs coming from the keyboards into the mixer, so it sounded like a whole orchestra to himself. And then bless her, Kat, who is still at the time recording pregnant, was just in the middle of it all, just seemingly quite happy to be just in the middle of all this sound and everything. And we were both like, are you okay? Are you sure you're that? You know, and she's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just kind of, you know, cook it down and whatnot. I don't think, because they'd had like one single out before then, right?
I think so, yeah. Which one was it? The Pink Blossom?
Yeah, which is good.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it sounded better when they recorded it.
So good on Shed Sessions. Have a listen.
But if you haven't heard the episode, so if you don't know, so Yellow County are... Cat God, they used to be in Cat God, I think is probably the better way of saying it. Robin's off doing his own thing now, and the three of them still making music, which is good. It was good pull, Warren. Yeah, well done asking them.
Yeah, that was I love them. I love Yellow County. And the final one for me must be Jack Cade.
Yes,
and he travelled all the way from Brighton. And that's the first time someone's travelled in from that far. Often people come in from Oxfordshire, surrounding areas. But Brighton's quite a drive. And I hadn't realised that's where he was coming from. So he turned up. And I said, oh, you're okay and everything. And he was a few minutes late. And I think he was worried about being late. And I said, don't worry, where have you come in from? Was there a lot of traffic? And he said, Brighton. There was a bit of traffic on the M25, and then I had to get my head around this thinking, oh yes, you have to go near London, M25, mm-hmm. You're traveling north and then get to Oxford. So well done, Jack. And yeah, great baritone voice, really stood out, and well done for traveling that distance. I felt a bit bad, but he was happy to be here.
He was up for it. So, I mean, because we'd had Lee and Ian, who they... tour together, and they were both great sets as well, right?
Magical.
It was kind of nice to get Jack in to complete the trilogy.
Yeah, but yeah, all the bands that have performed, I can't pick a favorite because they were just, and I'm not being political, diplomatic, or whatever. It's true. They've just been wonderful, and thank you all of you for joining us,
because we're just two chances, really. I mean. You
somewhat.
Know, I don't think I've ever told you. Yeah, no, we are pretty much. So, you know, what I always kind of take the mick out of Warren and say, you told me you had, but you hadn't. So I was like, yeah, I'm a professional audio guy. I've been learning on the job this whole time.
Ian? Well, I hope you've learned a lot. And I think you have.
Much.
I think you've learned. I'm glad. I'm glad, actually. I'm glad we've been on this learning path together.
Yeah. It's but you know, it just even finding a good way. And again, thank you so much, everybody. And I think they've all been good for when they were recorded. But even finding an optimal way of setting up the recording, there's a bit of a rhythm to it now, right? We get things set up normally pretty quickly, I would have thought.
Yeah, I tend to wander off and leave you to it with the band. I kind of have to collect my thoughts, and every now and then I pop in, and then I'll spot something.
But it's
something
not like you don't do anything. I mean, it's like, because you help bring the gear in, and then you hoover it up before everybody comes in and stuff, and, you know, make it all welcoming.
Oh, yeah. So today I dusted everything so clean. All the surfaces are
spotless. It is spotless in here, actually. Way neater than anything in my house. Sorry, Em, but it's true.
It's tidy. I took a break from work. I took 2 half-hour breaks and missioned it and dusted sections and then brought the vacuum cleaner in and did all of that. How long have we been chatting for? Has this been...
We're at the hour.
At the hour. Should we finish with some recommendations? I know I said let's do a what's in my bag thing where you've... You know, there's that thing on YouTube where an artist will go into the Amoeba store in Hollywood. It's one of those wonderful record stores with lots of CDs and vinyl and books and DVDs and posters and T-shirts. It's my dream store.
Yeah.
Very similar to Truck Store, but Truck Store's a much smaller scale.
Well, it's gonna, so we love Truck Store. It is
so much.
Both of us. It's one of our favourite shops ever. Definitely up there in top tier in Oxford. But yes, in terms of scale and size, they're a lot smaller.
It is. And Truck Store, if you're listening, we could do a what's in my bag in the shop. I don't even have to keep this stuff. Or maybe just one thing. I'll go around truck and I'll have a little... You can give me a budget.
You'll have to negotiate with Carl.
I'll put them in there.
And by the way, if Warren's getting freebies, I want freebies as well. I'm just going to put it out there.
I'll share. We can share. If you come in to do the audio while I fill up a truck bag. But I'm not sure if we're going to go through all of the things in our bag. But maybe... Go for it, Ian. What's in your bag?
Well, I'm not going to go through every single one, but I'll do like a couple of picks, right?
Please do. All right. This is going to be
fun. Should we alternate again?
Yeah.
Okay, right. So, most recent purchase, I am picking something up. I don't know why I will talk and bring stuff up at the same time, but most recent purchase. So, I'm a big Chemical Brothers fan, and they released a new album called For That Beautiful Feeling. And apparently they don't sign stuff very often, but for indie record shops, i.e. Truck Store, they did a run of personally signed records. And the album's really good. It's really good. I will check out anything that the Chemical Brothers do. And I liked the last album, No Geography, and I like this one. So yes, I was pretty happy to get that. So thank you, Tom and Ed, for signing it, and thank you to Truck for putting it aside for me. It's very nice.
I saw the signatures there straight away. That's cool. And it's got your little label that Truck do with your name on it.
But Warren, mate, but I get so funny about labels. Like if it's not if it's not one of the labels that came that the record company put on the record, it has to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, look next to you on the bookshelf, there's one attached to the top shelf. Here we go.
Oh yeah.
That's from Truck. So they write my name with an exclamation mark. Just my first name, Warren, exclamation mark. And that actually came on a record. I'm gonna find it here. It is called, the album is called Dope Smoker, and it's by Sleep. And that is a beauty. Look at the cover.
It's a nice cover though.
These sort of Star Wars looking Jawa type desert people with these weird camels in the desert, and there's a beautiful crescent moon up there.
Is it like, it sounds like a stoner rock album, is it kind of that thing?
Full on stoner doom rock, sludgy as hell. And it consists of one track. The studio album is the one track is called Dope Smoke, and it's 1 hour and 3 minutes of just pure bass and grungy guitar, and so nice. And then This LP version has got a side D, which is one other song called Hot Lava Man, and that's 8:25. But I actually recorded a little YouTube video for the Shed Sessions channel where I sat in here and spoke about this album. It's about 9 minutes when I chatted about it. And oh, I'm so happy with this. I've wanted this for ages. And you know, when you finally find it, and it was at a really reasonable price. I was expecting this to cost like 50 quid or something, and yeah, it wasn't. It was very reasonably priced. But there you go, that's my first one. Sleep, Dope Smoker.
So, okay, should we do one more? Should I get one more pick?
Yeah.
All right. So, my second and final pick for this extended, slightly chatty version of Chest Sessions is in a similar ilk, I think. So one of my favourite albums ever is, and this is not a joke in any way, shape or form, is He's the DJ, I'm the Rapper by Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Now, please don't switch off the podcast. Just bear with me for a second. I will say, so Jazzy Jeff is one of the best DJs out there and producers as a hip-hop DJ. Fresh Prince, he is jokey. He is not the best. No, I'm not going to say that. He is an actor, but before he was an actor, he's actually a really good frontman, and I will maintain rapper. Okay? No, Warren, I know
who
you mean.
Will Smith.
Will Smith, when he was the Fresh Prince. And I love this album. So this is a double album, I think. It is a double album, isn't it? Yes, it's a double album. It has the original full album, plus... and this is a reissue that came out fairly recently, but it's also got the bonus scratch mix tracks, which is basically Jazzy Jeff scratching and whatnot. And I never thought I'd even see it on vinyl, let alone for this price. So it was $7.99. I'm so happy I have this, Warren. You would not believe. So happy.
I've never seen a photograph of Jazzy Jeff before. And
really?
He's on that cover.
But I mean, did you watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, Jazzy Jeff was in... Jazzy Jeff was the guy, it was Jeffrey, who always got kicked out of the house.
Yeah.
That's him.
He always went flying out the house. Whoa.
But it's a bit of a... it was cool, and he was, you know, it's more like Will Smith's thing. But it's a bit of a shame, because genuinely, Jazzy Jeff is an incredible DJ and producer in his own right.
Yeah. Wow.
Here's a fact. He produced Do the Bart Man by Bart Simpson.
No, that's a great song.
Which is a great song.
Yeah,
well, very
like
well
it.
Produced.
Oh, it sounds like it. I do like The Simpsons.
So, different, but in a way similar to your purchase of Sleep, I am so glad I have this. And from Truck as well. So, there you go.
Yeah, exciting. And at a reduced price.
We like bargains.
What can go wrong? Nothing really. And also, I was thinking about this what's in my bag thing and thinking... Does it have to be something that you want to get, or you pick up in the store and you say why, or is it something that you already own? So I've done one that I already own, and now I've got a list of stuff that I need.
Need.
I need. I don't want. I need. And what's coming up is the National Album Day 2023 on the 14th of October, and that's 90s records. And They've got me in 90s.
You're going to have to get another mortgage.
Oh, man.
Sell the kids.
I've saved up for this one, but there's a whole lot of stuff that I want. And I'm going to get DJ Shadow introducing and introducing.
So we were talking about this last time I was in. I'm obsessed with DJ Shadow, right? And I have so much... I didn't bring any DJ Shadow with me today. But that is the one DJ Shadow album I do not have on vinyl.
I've sourced a
Why?
Copy because you've been lazy. So I've sourced a copy. Originally, I sourced it at Vinylo in Southampton, which is where Stornoway were going to play like two nights after they'd been here. And I actually said to them, look, can I pay for it over the phone in Vinylo or however you do it, internet, click and collect, whatever.
Some kind of technology.
Yeah. And then can you guys pick it up? And they said, yes, that's fine.
Yeah.
It turns out that they had sold out. That copy that I saw in there was gone. So I found it in a record store online. The record store exists, but they've got an online version. Like we all do. We all exist as people, but we've got these online versions.
Sure.
Which isn't real, so don't worry about it. And they've got it. It's the shop is called Raves from the Grave, and they're in Froome in Somerset near Bath. And
could truck not get it in for you?
Oh, they probably could, but I like going to that shop because we go visit family in Bath.
Okay.
My Bath's partner's cool. family, and then I always have an excuse to go and check out that store. So I'm going to pick that up when I go, DJ Shadow.
Got a new album coming out. We're very excited about that.
Yeah.
Very excited.
It's on the cover. Looks great. It's like great a comic cover. Drawing with a guy. It looks like he's come out of the water and he's got a dagger or something.
Action Adventure, I think it's called.
Something like that.
But I'm annoyed for not remembering it. But yeah, the two singles so far have been really good. So.
Oh, I'm going to check it out. Just one more. Robert Miles, Dreamland.
Warren, we may have to stop being friends now.
Okay, don't you like it?
No.
Okay, I'll scratch it off my list.
No,
I love
it. If you like it, then
fine. I like it.
Is that the one with children on?
Possibly.
No, that's fine, if that's your thing.
Okay.
I'm just saying I may need to stop doing shed sessions with you.
Okay.
I think we need to get personal or anything, just saying.
Well, someone's got to like it. What about, is there a record that you want, you're coveting at the moment, that you think, I need that record? I mean, you said DJ Shadow.
So, I mean, yeah, I'll pick up the new DJ Shadow album when that comes out. I don't think there's... And I'll get it on vinyl. I don't think there's anything... I don't really have a Holy Grail record. The reason why I'm kind of exhaling and pausing slightly, so one of the records I have always wanted is an original 7-inch of New Rose by The Damned. It is one of my favourite singles ever. It is one of the best songs ever. Do you know the song?
I know The Damned, not very well.
It starts up with, is he really going out with him? It's so good. So I don't have it on 7-inch, but I do have a reissue on 12-inch, which still from quite early on with, my wife used to work in truck and she picked it up now. So I think that's kind of that box ticked. Do you know what I mean?
Wow, you found what you were looking for.
Yeah. So there aren't... You put me on the spot, but I don't think I do have any, like, Holy Grail, that edition of that record, you know?
Yeah, that's okay. I bet you when we've stopped recording, you'll suddenly remember something. But Ian, that was an absolute pleasure. I've enjoyed chatting with you. We never get a chance, really. It's always busy when we're recording for a band, and then... afterwards you go home and I clear up, and it's just been so good to chat, so
thank you so much. I mean, it's and thank you to to you for this one, because it's been a lovely thing to be involved in. You know, I wouldn't do it if I didn't enjoy it, and every single one. I'll be honest, sometimes I've gone like before the session, I'm going, oh man, I've got to do another shed session. And then I get here, my mood just changes. You know, you get set up, you see the musician come in, and we get all set up and get into the session. And it's always great, right? So.
Oh, that's so good to hear. And I do appreciate that you have to travel from the east of Oxford all the way over to the west. And I just stay here, and it's a lot easier sometimes to stay.
It's true, but you say you just stay here. But you are offering out your shed and your home to musicians who... are mostly are lovely, but can be idiots and disorganized. You're not getting off lightly.
I don't feel so bad then. Well, thank you for driving, and mainly also thank you to every band that has said yes. I think you can get so far in stuff if you just say yes more. And they've all said yes. And I started saying yes to more stuff, and it really helps.
A book about that by Danny, what's his name? Yes Man. Have you seen that? Don't watch the film; it's rubbish. But the book is really good.
Is the film the one with what's his name?
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Yeah, but the original book is really good.
Okay, I'll have a look. I was thinking of Dice Man, where that guy throws a dice, and
similar concept, I think. But this is one where I can't remember his name. Anyway, sorry.
Try it out. Yes.
Yes Man. Yeah. But yes, no, thank you all the bands, and thank you Warren.
Great. Well, it's raining now and I can hear the rain outside. There's not often episodes where you hear that, but I love the sound of the rain, and the autumn's coming. It's been an extended period of warm weather, but I can feel it coming in, and we get to wear layers of clothing, which all my mates joke about, because I when it's cold, I wear loads of layers. And we're getting some lovely sunsets, and the leaves are changing color. There's a few butterflies still about. The raspberries are done, finished. But there is still some green about, and mostly nettles and weeds and things, but there's still color because the weather's been so good. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode, and I've had such a lovely evening chatting with you, and we'll go back to Soul Asylum Grave Dancers.
Yes, that's another one of the things I brought along, but yes, thank you very much.
On the gold pressed vinyl, limited
gold,
edition,
numbered gold vinyl,
labeled for you from Truck Store.
It was, I think that one hasn't got my name on it. Anyway,
but it was
sorry,
from
yes.
Truck.
From Truck.
Okay, well, good night.
Good night.
We're winding back the time clock. We'll open up the strong box. What's in your shed? What's in your shed? Pictures and treasures and the books that we read. What's in your shed? What's in your shed?